Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Today I'm teaching on spirit, soul, and body, and we're now into the fourth and final part in this teaching. This teaching is entitled The Spirit Versus the Flesh. If you've missed any of this teaching, or even if you've heard every single day, I really encourage you to get the materials, because this is the revelation that just turned my life right side up. This is the foundation of everything I teach. This is what most people, I think, would call your life message. This has just turned me around, and I believe that it would do the same thing for any of you. If any of you are dissatisfied with where you are in your walk with the Lord, if you know that there's more that you are missing, then I can guarantee you, I believe what you need is in this teaching, or at least the foundation of it. It'll be like a springboard into whatever area you need. And I know that that's a big claim, but that's what I believe. And so this is really important. Even if you've heard the broadcast, I encourage you to get these materials. We have not only the English, but we also have the book in Spanish. So we've got an English and Spanish version. We have our CDs on spirit, soul, and body, and then there's also a DVD set that was taken from TV. This is like Christianity 101. This is a beginning place. This is something that every Christian should know. And I'm drawing to the end of this teaching, so this coming Friday is going to be my last day to teach on this subject of spirit, soul, and body. And so please go to the effort. I know that there's some of you who watch this and you think, oh, I'd like to get that. And then you get busy and you go off to work or something and you forget it. And you just don't follow through on it. I really encourage you, if there is any desire at all, to please call and get these materials. And if you don't have a desire, then call and we'll place the desire in you, because you need this. Amen. It would really be good for you. Now, I've been talking about this week, and this is kind of the conclusion of the matter, that in your spirit, you have already been changed. And the reason that the Christian life isn't just instantaneous victory in every area of your life is because you have a spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is changed, but your soul and your body aren't changed. And so it's kind of like a majority, two against one. If your soul, which is your mental, emotional part, isn't under the dominion of the spirit, but instead, if it's over here and it's being controlled by your five senses, what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, then that's two against one. And even though you have the life of God in your spirit, it'll never manifest itself in your soul or in your body. But as you renew your mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as you get your mind into agreement with your spirit, and that's two against one, and even though, you know, sickness, cancer could come into your body, if you are spiritually minded, Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and truth. Life and peace. And if you get your mind in agreement with your spirit, then it's two against one. Your physical body will receive healing. You'll be healed of cancer, heart disease, whatever it is. You'll overcome the emotional instability. You'll overcome depression, discouragement, any of these kind of things. So in a nutshell, this is the way it is. In the spirit, your salvation is already complete. But you aren't only a spirit. You have a soul and a body. And to be able to experience this life of God that has been placed in your born-again spirit, out in your emotions and in your physical body, depends on whether or not you renew your mind and start being controlled by the spirit instead of the flesh. Now, that is a quick summary, but that is a brief description of the entire Christian life. And let me just point out the difference between what I just said right here and what the average Christian is thinking. The average Christian believes that when you get born again, that there is something that took place, but it's not clear, it's rather vague, and as a whole, this is a generalization, but as a whole, the average Christian believes that there is like a token change, a token redemption right now, but that our redemption will be complete when we go to be with the Lord in eternity, in heaven. Then what a day that's going to be. and they believe that everything is going to start then. Now, if you are a quote-unquote spirit-filled, faith-type person, then most, the average spirit-filled faith type of person believes that it can not only take place in eternity, it can take place in this life. We can begin to experience healing and prosperity and deliverance, but it is still out there. We have to pray and ask God to touch us and ask God to move in our life and ask God for joy and ask God for peace. And somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? What I'm saying is, that in your spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those things are already in your born-again spirit in abundance. You don't need God to give you love, joy, and peace. You don't need God to give you healing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives on the inside of us. It's not out there somewhere available that if we will pray and live holy and do everything just exactly right, then God can send and touch us. No, you already have this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. There's a huge difference between believing that it can happen if you will pray and be holy enough and do all of these things, maybe God will give it. There's a huge difference between that and believing that God has already placed this on the inside of you, and it's just a matter of drawing out what is already there. It would be the difference between a person just sitting there and as people walk by asking for a drink of water, could you please help me? Would you please give me something? And you becoming a very good beggar that could get people to give you something when you need it. There's a difference between that and the person who digs their own well and has a limitless supply of water, and whenever they get thirsty, they just reach down and take advantage of what they already have. I don't know if you relate to that, but that's, to me, a pretty good description. There's a lot of Christians who believe God can do anything, but that He has done nothing. And so, basically, most of Christianity is telling you how to beg and plead with God to get God to come and touch you and release His power. What I'm saying is that the moment you got born again, God placed this power on the inside of you, and the rest of the Christian life is not trying to get God to do something, but discovering what you already have and drawing it out and learning to go by who you are in the Spirit and not by what you feel out here in the physical realm. Huge difference. Boy, there's a huge difference. You know, I'm not going to promote this today. This isn't a special offer. If you want this, you're going to have to go to our website and get it, or you'd have to call in and ask for it specifically by name. But I have another teaching entitled, You've Already Got It, that takes the truths that I've mentioned right here today from spirit, soul, and body and makes an application. And it applies to our prayer life. It applies to healing. It applies to all of these things. And that is really a powerful, powerful truth. Let me turn over to Romans chapter 6. And I want to just begin to amplify on this warfare that is going on between what you have in Christ and your perception of what you have. In the natural, we have been taught to go by what we see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. And did you know what? That in with your sight, with your feeling, with your taste, with your hearing, with what you smell, you cannot perceive God with you. You can't perceive whether or not you have the power of God. There is just this natural conflict between what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, and what the Bible says that you have in your spirit. And let me share some things with you that God has used this to help me to understand this and to bring some clarity to this. And again, I refer back to the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto us through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The understanding properly, getting your mind renewed, determines how your life is going to go. I believe that if you've been born again on the inside of you, you do have the power of God. But if you don't believe it, if you don't know it, if you don't understand it, it'll never manifest. So it's not really, if you're born again, I don't need to get anything into you. I don't need to give you more. What I need to do is just help you to understand what God has already given you. And these scriptures right here have helped me tremendously to understand what took place on the inside of me. This is going to go against a lot of religious teaching. You know, what's new? Most of what I teach goes against a lot of religious teaching. But I think that this will really help you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Of course, the answer to this is in verse 2, "God forbid." No, that's not what he's saying. But you know what? If you preach grace the same way that Paul preached grace, then this is a question that will always come up. If nobody ever says, "Well, are you just saying that we can live in sin because God loves us independent of our performance?" If that question never comes up, then you haven't heard the same gospel that Paul preached, because it came up five different times in his writings. Twice in this same chapter he asked this question. So it is a logical question. If God isn't giving you what you deserve, then that means can you just go live in sin? No, that's not what we're saying, but that is a question that will always come up and have to be answered if you preach the true gospel. The answer is in verse 2. He says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now, immediately, there is a conflict between what the Scripture says right here and what most of us perceive in our experience. The Bible says here that you are dead to sin. Most of us don't have to look very far to see that we aren't dead to sin. That, man, it seems like that we can sin with the best of them. Many of you just have to white knuckle it every day that you are so drawn towards lust or towards anger or bitterness or covetousness or, you know, all of these different sins going on. And some of us, man, it's just like you are white knuckling it, trying to hold on and resist these things. And yet this says that you're dead to sin. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then the next verse just amplifies on this. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death to sin?" And some people think, well, man, I just can't understand this. Again, it's because you aren't understanding that there's a spirit, soul, and body. In your body and soul, you aren't dead to sin. Your body and your soulish realm, your mental and emotional part, is very much capable of sin. But in your spirit man, it cannot sin. I'm not going to go back and reteach this. I've already dealt with this at the beginning of our teaching, but over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, the scripture there says that whosoever is born of God cannot sin. And some people think, well, man, how can that be? Because your physical body isn't born of God. It's been purchased, but it's not yet been redeemed. Your soulish realm, your mind and emotions haven't been changed yet. They've been purchased, but they haven't been redeemed. The only part of you that is born of God at this moment is your spirit. And your spirit cannot sin. The born-again part of you has had the dominion of sin broken. The nature of the devil that was inside of every one of us prior to being born again has been cast out and it's gone. You do not have a sinful nature on the inside of you once you get born again. You are in the spirit realm dead to sin. And I know that there's some people right now saying, now wait a minute, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this sinful nature. Well, let me say this, and you know, I'm not against anybody or against any translation or anything else, but I am for the truth, and I just have to point this out, that the NIV version, the New International Version, has nearly consistently translated this Greek word, sarx, S-A-R-X, that the King James translates flesh. The NIV translates that as sinful nature. And you know what? I think that that's an interpretation, not a translation. And it is putting forth that even after you get born again, you still have a sinful nature. And I'm going to make a point. Romans chapter 6 is making a major point of this, that you don't have that sinful nature. And again, the reason I'm sharing all of this, the reason I think it's important to get this straight is because if you think that you are by nature an evil person, that you are still a sinner. For instance, let me just take this verse over in Ephesians chapter 2. This is talking about prior to salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, if I can find it, in verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened," the word quickened means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's talking about your nature, your sinful human nature before you got born again. And in verse 2 it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh." And I've already defined flesh. This is talking about the external part of you, the non-born-again spirit part of you. "We had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Before you get born again, you had a sinful human nature on the inside of you. And the reason you sinned is because it was your nature to sin. It's much like the reason a dog does what they do is because they are a dog. You know why a dog acts like a dog instead of like a cat? Because he has a nature like that. You could take a dog and you could put a different collar on him and you could fluff his fur up and try and make him look like a cat. But you know what? A dog is not going to act like a cat because it's the nature of that animal to be a certain way. Vice versa, you can't take a cat and try and make it to act like a dog. It's that nature. You could put a pig and, you know, put a dog collar on it and you could clean it up and make it smell good and do all of this stuff. But if you turn it loose, it's going to go get in the mud because that's the nature of that pig to do that. And you know what? It is sinful human nature to sin. And if you think that when you got born again, that you somehow were forgiven of your sins and there is a part of you that now has been born of God, but you still have a sinful human nature, then what's going to happen is when temptation presents itself, you may resist to a degree, but when your desire can persist, then you're going to think, well, after all, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. It's the nature that is working in me is what these verses say, and you'll just give in. But when you understand that, no, that sinful nature is gone, and this is not who I am. I'm no longer an adulterer, a liar, a thief, a drug addict, an alcoholic, a whoremonger. I am no longer these things. God has changed my nature. Now, you have to admit that, you know what, I'm capable of doing those things if you don't let your new born-again spirit dominate, but just knowing that you don't have a part of you that makes you do it, it is not your nature anymore. It'll make a difference. Like if you could take a dog and somehow or another change its nature, not just change its external. Don't just put a different collar on it. Don't fluff its fur up. Don't try and make it look like a cat. But if you could change its nature, it would start acting like a cat because its nature was changed. See, you have had your nature changed. You are no longer by nature a child of wrath, even as others. That's the way you were before you got born again. But knowing that you have been totally changed will make a huge difference in your behavior. And that's what it's referring to over here in Romans chapter 6 when it says you are dead to sin. How can you live any longer in it? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? This isn't just talking about water baptism. I don't have time to explain this in detail, but you know the word baptism is a religious phrase that many people just automatically relate it to the ordinance of water baptism. This isn't talking about water baptism. This is talking about the baptism of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it's verse 13, that says we've all been baptized into Christ. The moment you make Jesus your Lord, you get immersed into Christ. That's what the word baptized means. It means immersed. But when the King James Bible was being translated, the common practice in the body of Christ wasn't immersion, it was sprinkling. And so the translators just could not bring themselves to say that John was immersing people in the River Jordan, that Jesus was immersed, that Jesus had His disciples immerse people because it went against their religious traditions. And so what they did was take a Greek word, baptizo, and they transliterated it. and literally created an English word, baptized, that would leave it open to interpretation so that you could still, you know, sprinkle, christen, or dunk. But the word literally means to submerge. Somebody says, so what do you think? Do you think that it's all right to sprinkle? Well, I don't think you're going to go to hell if you got sprinkled instead of dunked. But I believe that the Bible says that you are immersed. See, this has become a religious word that if they just would have said you are immersed into Christ, then that would have been more understandable. But they made this word baptized that now has religious connotations to it and people miss it. You know, I believe that when you get born again, you need to be water baptized, and that means to immerse. Somebody says, do you think you ought to put them all the way under the water? I think you should, and if they don't repent, just hold them under until they do. Amen? That's the way I believe it. Just get them to where they really repent. No, it's talking about to totally immerse. So this is talking about, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized are put into Christ, immersed into Christ, were baptized into His death. We were immersed, are completely overwhelmed with His death. In verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this. Now, I'm about out of time today, but let me just set the stage for what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. When you got born again, you were put into Christ, immersed, overwhelmed with Christ. And you are now dead. That born-again spirit is dead to sin. But whether or not you resurrect and manifest this resurrection power through your actions and through your thoughts, through your emotions, is dependent upon you knowing something. In other words, in the Spirit's changed. But unless you renew your mind, you will never experience that transformation in your actions. And so, on the rest of these programs this week, I'm going to be sharing some truths with you that will help you to release this resurrection life. The death to sin is automatic, but whether you experience that or not is dependent on whether you know some things. So I'm going to share some things with you that will help you to experience this resurrection life. Remember that we have a lot of material available. Our announcer is going to share that with you. I encourage you to please get this material. If not for yourself, do it for someone else. It would be a blessing.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Spirit Versus the Flesh, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in Warwick, England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
He put the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have to stand up and you have to speak it and you have to release this. When you meditate in the Word day and night, the Word rises up on the inside of you and then you make your way prosperous.
Join Andrew Womack for the Chicago, Illinois Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.
Started getting this bad stomach pain that happened every time I ate something.
I just felt like I couldn't help him. Well, I knew I couldn't. I was in the medical field and I couldn't do anything.
I found out later that it was life-threatening.
I just sat there quietly with family, hoping my son was watching, hoping he would absorb all this, understand it, and accept it, and he did.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Scott Forsyth. Are you a world changer? Charis Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.